There were two Morris Minor saloons, both grey, parked in the small driveway of Jenny Ferriman's house, as well as a large Hillman Hunter. The latter belonged to Jenny's husband, who was an auctioneer with Messenger May Baverstock in Godalming, and the Morris Minors belonged to Jenny herself and to the music teacher at the public school. He had come round on a Saturday afternoon in spring to rehearse a few duets by Devienne for a little concert in the church in order to raise money for a new set of steps up from the church to the road. Neither of them were believers, but the churchgoers were always prepared to consider outsiders to be honorary members of the congregation when it came to fundraising. There was not much of a repertoire for clarinet and oboe, and so they were playing flute duets. Brian, the clarinetist, was manfully transposing on sight, and Jenny was playing her flute parts on the oboe. Sometimes it sounded quite good, and sometimes very strange. "It's lucky that Devian is dead," said Brian. "I can't imagine what he'd think of us doing this." "I think it's wonderful how you transpose like that," said Jenny. "I don't know how you do it. You must have to split your brain in half." "It does your head in after a while," he admitted. "But you get used to it, and the exercise is probably very good for you. I'm hoping it'll make me more intelligent." "Why don't you use a C clarinet? Wouldn't that be the really intelligent option?" "I haven't got one. They don't sound quite as nice as a B flat." "Why don't you get one, though?" "Maybe I should start saving up my pocket money. That's not a bad idea, actually. Then you can save up for a basset horn. I'm sure they pay you masses at that posh school." "Yeah, and pigs fly. I'd love a basset horn, though." "Oh, by the way," said Jenny, "can you see the kids anywhere?" "They're all in a heap fighting on the lawn," said Brian, looking through the window. "Susie's just bitten Annie, and Andrew's crying, and the dog is digging in the flower bed, and your husband is doing something to the lawnmower. By the way that his lips are moving, I would guess that he's swearing. I can't see the cat, but I think the rabbit's got out. There's a black one in the vegetable patch." "All's right with the world, then," said Jenny. "Shall we try something else?" They were halfway through a fairly vigorous allegro when Susie, aged 6, blonde, tousled and filthy, came running in.
"Mummy, mummy, there's a strange man outside and he was listening under the window. I saw him, I saw him."
"Have you told Daddy?"
"Yes, I did tell Daddy, and Daddy's got him and he's going to kill him."
"Oh dear, really?"
"He's got a big spanner, Mummy."
"I suppose we'd better go out," said Brian, putting his clarinet carefully onto its stand and replacing the cap. Outside, they found a small, bespectacled middle-aged man in a brown jacket and waistcoat cowering between a wall and a rhododendron, while Jenny's husband, already enraged by the intransigence of the mower, loomed over him with a large wrench and demanded explanations.
"Peter, darling, please be careful with that thing," said Jenny. "You might do some damage, and then they'll take you away in a black Mariah, and tomorrow you'll miss Sunday lunch and we'll have to give your share to the dog."